A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. Civil War in Germany, 1077 to 1084. When Henry went to war with Rudolf in 1077, Gregory turned his mind back to reform and further establishing papal control over kings and nations. He asserted his authority over many kings and used forged documents to prove that popes had always had this authority and had used it before. That very year, the Countess Matilda ceded her entire county to the Pope. Gregory was, however, wise enough to know that he could push and who he could not push. In regard to Normans, Gregory was moderate. He befriended William the Conqueror and never tried to interfere too much with his realm, despite the fact that William was the one king who never seriously enforced Gregory's rules on clerical celibacy. In fact, a council in England at Westminster Abbey refused to annul the marriages of priests, although it did forbid future marriage. Still, the Normans were Gregory's best allies, and he couldn't afford to alienate them. Nevertheless, all his quest for power actually dampened the Holy Roman Empire, for he had deposed the Polish king, Boleslaw, and forbade them even to call themselves a kingdom again. From that time forward, Poland would nominally be part of the empire. Gregory would further intervene in Byzantine politics and declare an emperor of Constantinople deposed, though he was not part of the Holy Roman Empire, because he had made an alliance with Henry IV. It is only natural that the Pope's interference in political sovereignty would lead to civil wars and strife in the various kingdoms, just as it had in Germany. In 1079, Gregory was now turned himself to the issue of heresy. He had by brutal means forced clerical celibacy on bishops, and now, with the help of more forged documents, he introduced it into canonical law, as if it had always been there. Later that year, he called forth Berengar of Tours for a trial on the issue of transubstantiation. As had happened twice before, Berengar defended his view and declared that since Christ had been crucified once for all, and because he could not be crucified all over again, it's Romans 6 and Hebrews 6, the sacrifice of Mass would not be valid. Berengar denied that Christ was sacrificed again at Mass. With the help of still more forged documents, Gregory proved Berengar wrong again and found him guilty. Berengar was faced with death again, and yet another letter of renunciation was written for Berengar. Yet again he signed it only to go forth and preach what he had renounced. The entire situation was unique. Since the church had not yet developed the Inquisition, it did not know how to deal with Berengar. The Pope had condemned his view, and with the precedent set by Henry, a heretic could be burned. But what could they do with a man who would so easily renounce his views only to go back on the street and preach again? The church was attempting to reform itself, not purge itself in tyranny. This is the irony, for the reforms of Gregory VII would bring tyranny, not true reform. Berengar was able to live out his life to a ripe old age of nearly 90, but his followers would not. Within a few decades, heresy hunters would root out the Berengarians, and persecution of fellow Christians would become part of history. In January 1080, Rudolf's soldiers dealt Henry a critical blow. Henry was defeated, and Gregory now believed it was safe to officially endorse Rudolf for the crown. In March 1080, he again excommunicated Henry and backed Rudolf as the rightful heir to the throne. Gregory further had the audacity to utter a prophecy that within the months Henry would die or surrender. The prophecy was false, for it was Rudolf who died, not Henry. The army of Henry had lost another decisive battle at the Battle of Ulster, but Rudolf had his hand cut off in the battle and died later that day from blood loss. The rebels had no king. They would eventually elect Hermann to succeed Rudolf as claimant to the throne, but Hermann was weak and Henry again the effective ruler. He was now able to turn his attention on the despotic vicar. In June of 1080, Henry held his own council composed of many deposed and excommunicated bishops who opposed the ruthless rule of Gregory VII. They officially deposed Gregory VII and elected Gilbert as pontiff in his stead, under the name of Clement III. Even Clement's enemies admit that he was a man above reproach. He commanded the respect of many men, but it was his staunch opposition to the tactics of Gregory VII that earned him excommunication from that pope. For the next 16 years, Clement would reign as pope, but the Gregorian popes also remained. It is a testament to the weakness of Henry IV and the strength of the Normans that the Gregorians won out and in the Middle Ages would plunge into tyranny. For now, Henry had to make his pope legitimate and reclaim his crown from Gregory. He still held the diadem he had taken at Canossa. In the spring, Henry marched into Italy and defeated Count Matilda's troops. He was then able to continue directly to Rome unopposed. When he arrived, however, he was surprised to find that the Romans were unwilling to open the gates for him. Henry had made many enemies, but he still had many supporters, and the Romans were among his most loyal. Henry was forced to retreat until he could return with a larger siege army. That army returned in 1081, but withdrew, and then in 1082, and again withdrew. Sieges were long, tedious tasks and often involved starving the besieged out. In this case, however, Henry did not want to alienate his own subjects, so there was restraint used in the siege. This is probably one reason that the siege was never completely finished until March of 1084, when his troops finally entered Rome. Gregory retreated to the castle of San Angelo, where he prepared for another siege, but Henry was content with the crown, knowing that Gregory could not escape. It was arranged for Gregory to lower Henry's crown down on a long rope from the castle top. After retrieving his diadem, Clement was officially installed and consecrated as the new pope. A week later, Clement officially crowned Henry the Holy Roman Emperor. Their victory was, nevertheless, short-lived, for in May, Henry learned that Gregory's Lord Protector, the Norman Robert Guiscard, was approaching from the south with an army of over 35,000 men, and both he and Pope Clement bid a hasty retreat. Ironically, but poetically, what followed would only cement Henry's claim to the throne and lead to Gregory's exile and ultimate disgrace. What a mess. So we'll see how Robert does in protecting Gregory, and then ultimately, in a later show, we'll have to replace Gregory. Now the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire, by Ferguson, Before France and Germany, by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe, by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia, by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987-1328, by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1, by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions, by Delbruck, Early Germans, by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire, by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.